the critical moment.
Hello, I'm Dan Brown.
And I'm Brandi Crawford Eryou. We are your TV BFFs, and this is a podcast about the TV shows that people love most. Each episode, we bring on a guest to discuss their top six shows of all time based on what we call the BFF criteria. With so much TV out there, we want to know, what are the best shows you've ever seen? What are your absolute favorite shows? And what are the shows that you would watch on a loop forever?
That's right. Each episode, our guest will pick two shows in each of the three BFF categories, those being their best, favorite, and forever shows, all while choosing from the three genres of TV, which are drama, comedy, and unscripted. And today we have an incredible guest that we are very excited for. He's a comedian, a writer, an actor. He hosts the podcast Middle Children, and we have the receipts. You also know him on Instagram at Fat Carrie Bradshaw. Please welcome Chris Burns.
Hello. Thank you guys for having me.
Chris, thank you so much for coming on.
No, please. I love TV. I love to talk it.
Yes.
We love that about you. And to be honest, like when Brandon and I were first talking about this show, like last season even, we're like, you know who would be great? It's Chris Burns. He talks about TV and he's really fun.
I do.
And I bet he would be really good at this. So.
I was like, he always talks, he like loves talking about Hallmark movies. Like, I want to talk about TV with him.
Oh my God, thank you. Listen, I can tell you all about Hallmark movies, and I've recently gone into Lifetime movies, the thrillers as well.
Ooh, okay.
So it's been a journey.
Yes.
As you can imagine. Last night I watched The Captive Nanny. Was the name of the movie.
What's great is you know pretty much all you need to know about the premise just by the title.
Oh, immediately. You know?
I mean, that's what makes the best Lifetime movie.
I don't like a surprise.
Yeah.
I'm like, I don't need a twist in everything. Yeah. I think there's a new series about garage sales where it's a crime fighter who finds new crimes when she goes to garage sales. And they star Lori Loughlin.
Oh, wow.
Famously from Full House and Jail.
Talk about a comeback.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Listen, there's a lot of great things out there. You just have to find them.
That also feels like the kind of show that I wish I had like developed like reality-wise.
Exactly.
Yeah, right?
All right. So, Chris, let's get right into it. So normally what we do is we'll tee up the criteria with some almost shows. And we always ask our guests to send their list of shows in advance just so we kind of know what we're getting into. We can prepare for anything we haven't seen. And you sent over such a great list and you organized your almost shows by category. So we're going to do something a little bit different this time. We're going to go category by category and do the almost shows along the way.
I like it. See, I thought that I had to do that and it would have been a lot easier if I had not. But I'm glad that I did because now we're here and variety is the spice of life.
Yeah,
that's exactly right. So let's get into the BFF criteria as well as your almost shows as we go. So we asked you to pick two shows in each category, those being your best, favorite, and forever shows. And your best shows, those are the ones you think are the most artistic or well-executed or just overall the best made shows you've ever seen. They should win the Emmys, right? Your favorite shows are the ones that hold a place near and dear to your heart, mean something to you personally. And then your forever category, if you died tomorrow and in the afterlife, you get to choose two shows to watch in order from pilot to finale over and over. What are those shows?
It's tough. It was a tough list.
So look, from each category, we had you choose from the three overall genres of TV, which we're defining as comedy, drama, and unscripted. And unscripted can mean anything from reality shows to documentary series to game shows, a whole big umbrella there. But there must be multiple episodes, so no one-offs allowed. But other than that, it can be anything. And here on TV BFFs, there is no such thing as a guilty pleasure, okay? So the only other rule is that you can't double up on a genre in two of the three categories. So if you pick two dramas in your best category, then your other two can't have a repeat genre. So let's get into it, Chris.
I think I fucked up that rule a little bit too.
You may have, but I don't know. You have some interesting picks here. We might be able to, I think we're going to be okay. I think it's going to be good.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. So let's get into it. So we'll start with the best category. Before we get to your two picks, what were some nominations or almost shows?
Okay, so let me preface this by saying I feel like I forgot shows because I was trying desperately to remember things. And So if there's anything amazing that I've missed, nobody come for me. And I do feel guilty that I can't remember my favorite shows of all time. But I will say my nominations for this. So Yellow Jackets is a recent.
Yeah, sure.
And did either of you watch?
I did. Yes. And loved.
Loved it.
So I loved it. I'll tell you why I didn't make the best list. There was certain episodes that I didn't need. I didn't need the episode where they were like chasing him around on mushrooms.
Yeah.
Like, I just did not understand what was happening there. And the girl who plays Jackie, the one that, spoiler alert, dies.
Sure.
Why in the world would she not be playing the young Christina Ricci? She looks exactly like her.
Oh, interesting. You think it was miscast?
And don't get me wrong, I thought Misty was great. And I adore Christina Ricci. I watched the whole series of Lizzie Borden Took an Axe on Lifetime starring Christina Ricci.
I love it.
But I just think that girl looks so much like her. Why they should have swapped roles. There was two great actresses there. I just feel like they could have done it a little differently.
That makes sense. So great show. Couple missteps. So can't make the best. What else was close?
So Fargo season one.
Ooh, specific. I like it.
It's like an anthology series. So every season's like a different story.
Mm-hmm.
And while season two has great casting, and the rest of the seasons all have great casting.
I like season two a lot, that because that went backwards in time, right? That was like
that was Jesse Plemons?
Yes.
Yeah, I like that one.
And Jean Smart.
Wait, season one was Billy Bob Thornton though, right?
Yes.
That was, season one was a wild ride.
And Martin Freeman was the main guy, right? Martin Freeman was season one. Yeah,
he was great. Like, they were all, I thought, so good. There's just something about the aesthetic of season one that remind me of the movie. And I love when the movie is one of my favorite movies ever. So I think that's why it's like a comfort show for me still. Mm-hmm. I watch and I love the girl. I don't even know who plays her. Like the one who plays the cop, the one who plays the Frances McDormand.
Oh, Molly. That's not her name.
Yeah.
But her name was Molly on the show.
She's just like likable and nice. So that was on the list. It didn't make it on the best because season three, I didn't even finish because it got too crazy. I can't deal with two people playing or with one actor playing identical brothers. No.
And also that didn't make any sense. Like, why did we need the twins? Why did they need to be twins?
The episode, I got to the part where she like kicks sooner, but she kicks the air conditioner out to kill someone.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Come on. Like, I need a little believability in things.
Yeah. Oh, that's funny. Yeah. By the way, Molly, season one was played by Alison Tolman, who is great.
Great. I love her. And she's the unsung hero of television. Where is she now?
Exactly. So, Chris, so what's your first best pick?
Okay, so I just watched this, so that's maybe why. But I did think it was one of the best. I loved it so much. White Lotus.
Sure. It is very, very good.
I thought it was just, there was nothing I disliked about it at all. The Jennifer Coolidge, like... of it all was just everything I dreamed it to be.
Yeah. And God bless, she's the one that's coming back for season two.
Oh, is that what's... Because I was wondering what season two is going to be.
It's going to be in Italy. There's a whole White Lotus universe, apparently.
I'm obsessed.
You're going to love this, especially with the Fargo. It's going to be anthology, so a new cast of characters each season.
I love
it. But in the same universe, so someone like Jennifer Coolidge can be on a different trip at a different White Lotus and meet new people.
Oh, I'm so excited. Yeah, it's very... American Horror Story would have been on this list maybe a few years ago.
Okay, fair.
Yeah, I jumped the shark for me, like, after the carnival season.
The carnival... I just tweeted the other day... Never forget the season of American Horror Story where Jessica Lange sings the entirety of Gods and Monsters by Lana Del Rey to like resemble that she was miserable as the head of the freak show.
Meanwhile, Sarah Paulson has two heads the whole time. It's like, what is going on?
That there had to be a moment with Sarah Paulson that she was like, this can't be it.
Yeah.
I forgot about that. That was the worst season, I think.
It was so bad.
It was bad. But speaking of anthology, so back to the White Lotus. So what about White Lotus outside of like the more recent of a watch? Like what puts it in your best? You mentioned casting for some of these other shows. Like casting was excellent, I would say.
I loved the casting. I loved the aesthetic. I loved that I was laughing out loud, but also it was like really dark.
Mm-hmm.
I cried, I think, at a couple episodes. And the Jennifer Coolidge monologues of just being like, that I just really loved that character. And I thought that it literally was written for her, but she does what she does so well.
Maybe he likes you.
Yeah, he likes the first layer. Maybe, I don't know, you know, but what about the second layer and the third layer? And then every step along the way, you know, I have to worry about, you know, is he going to like the next layer? You know, and I get all afraid, like, you know, how much do I want to show him? You know, is he going to be repulsed or is he going to be alarmed? And at the core of the onion, Belinda, is just a straight up alcoholic lunatic.
That's not true.
No, it is. It is. And I just want to show my hand. I don't want to play poker anymore. I just want to skip all the layers and just go straight to the crazy and just like, you know, let the chips fall where they may. And, you know, just show them. Just show them the core of the onion.
And how was it coming into it? Like, because so you just recently watched it and it came out like, last year?
Yeah.
Like last summer, I guess. And it obviously got like amazing reviews and everything. And like everybody was talking about it. Like, how was it going into it already knowing that like, oh, everybody really loves this show? Were you like prepared to like really love it? Kind of how did you go into it? And what took you so long to get there?
It takes me a long time to watch things because I can get so obsessed with the show that I'm like, it's the same reason that I only recently started watching the Harry Potters. Because when I was like in high school, I was like, I know that I'm going to get so obsessed with these fucking movies and I'm going to be like depressed that I can't go to fucking Hogwarts. So I'm just not going to read or watch them. So kind of like that kind of carries through my whole life with things.
This like deprivation theory, like I'm going to love it too much. I better hold off as long as possible.
Kind of. I don't know what it is. I'm just going to watch the same show I've watched 500 times over again. I'm a creature of habit very much in that way, right, where like once I find something, I will rewatch it a lot.
I love it. Okay, The White Lotus, though, that's strong. A recent show, but has made a large impact for sure. What are you putting up next to White Lotus as your second best show?
Okay, second best is Killing Eve season one.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, more specificity. Okay.
I like being specific with this because I think that you made such a right decision on which season of Killing Eve is the best.
I agree.
If it was up to me, Killing Eve would have been a one season limited series is what I think it should have been.
Mm-hmm.
I don't need I haven't even watched the most recent season because
I did and I stopped.
I'm like, it's enough. Are they going to fuck? Or are they not going to fuck? It's like, I don't care about that. Like, I felt like that whole premise was just bizarre that I'm like, she's killed her husband, but they're still going to like hook up. And there's like, I just didn't get anything beyond season one. But season one, I thought was just so good, exciting, beautiful. Two sublime actresses.
And maybe one of the best showrunners, creators of our time in Phoebe Waller-Bridge. Like that was her coming out moment was like, oh, wait, this is cool. And then she immediately left to do other stuff. At least for me, I think Fleabag was like a one woman show before. But
which I have not watched Fleabag yet.
Chris, you must.
I know. Which that it's is good. What I'm trying to now get into. When we get to our favorites, there's also one of the shows on there that I put off for like 8 years and then finally watched.
I love this delayed gratification. This is a great strategy.
Well, I love Killing Eve as the best, because especially season one, just because like, first of all, I think it was the best season because everything was still such a surprise. Like every time Villanelle popped the fuck off, it was like, what did she just do?
I mean, the first scene of Killing Eve when she just flips the girl's ice cream.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Like from that moment, I was like, oh my God, this is like fucking iconic.
No, she's so good. And her accents are amazing because isn't she like Irish or Scottish or something for real?
Yeah, and I think she's fluent in like seven languages in real life.
Yeah, she's like the woman that was Orphan Black.
She is, right? Yeah.
Tatiana Maslany.
Yeah.
Oh, she's great. Wait, so Chris, so to close on Killing Eve, so how far did you watch? Like, what did it take for you? Did you even watch into season two? Did you give it a shot? Or
I got through the end of season two, but at the end of season two, I was just like, I can't with this anymore. Mm-hmm. And I felt like that. I feel like for every episode in season two, it just wasn't like giving it to me. Like, I wasn't focused enough in it, and that's their fault, I feel.
I agree, yeah.
And Sandra Oh, like, who doesn't love Sandra Oh? So
she's so good.
Yeah. I gotta say, these are two, and I'm picking up a theme here, two very strongly casted best shows. I think, like, your picks kind of lean into the casting here, and I love that.
I love a strong character very much, yes. That is true.
All right, let's see if that continues into the favorite show. So
kind of.
All right, I love it. All right, so again, before we get into your two picks, we'll do the your noms, as you call them, or the almost shows.
Okay, so I'm going to be honest. I love a true crime.
Okay.
Who doesn't? There's a lot of noms that could come in this category, because whilst I watch a lot of reality TV, I also watch all crime TV and also a lot of, like, National Geographic I've seen every episode of Wicked Tuna.
Okay.
I've seen,
now you're talking my language. I'm an executive producer at the History Channel.
Are you a tuna head?
So, like, whenever I hear people talk about, like, male skew reality, my ears perk up, like, oh, what are you watching?
I did, like, over COVID, I watched all of that and just caught up on the new season. All of Snapped, which is now on Peacock. There's like 500 episodes on Peacock. Yeah. So
Snap Sunday for life.
I mean, who doesn't love Snapped?
My first reality TV job was working at Oxygen during, like, perhaps the heyday of Snapped. Like, we talked about Snapped at least 5 times a day.
I mean, there's some amazing, I Google best Snapped episodes and then I'll go and watch those ones.
I love it.
The best one is also this woman that lives in Alaska who is feeding people to her pigs.
Yikes.
Yeah. Forensic Files was on there.
Hold on, let's back up. That Alaska pig, is that a Lifetime movie waiting to happen or what? Like, I've sensed a lot of crossover here between the true crime and the Lifetime movies, you know?
Does Lifetime draw the line at cannibalism?
No. But no. The thing about Lifetime is people die with the drop of a hat. Like, all it takes to kill someone in a Lifetime movie is a push and they're dead. So it doesn't give you the realism of the true crime. And there are Lifetimes that are so bad I can't even continue watching.
Okay, so Snapped was close. Some
Forensic
of the
Files.
Forensic Files. Oh, good one.
I haven't thought about Forensic Files in so long.
I know. That's been on since forever.
Forever.
Yeah. Like, definitely since the 90s, right?
No, it just looks like it. I've looked it up before. I was shocked. When I looked it up, I was like, you've got to be kidding me. This is... I saw someone that I knew, like a comedian that I knew from New York that was in an episode. And I was like, what the fuck is he? Is that his dad? What year was this? And there was also a Forensic Files episode. I was at my friend's bachelorette party and we went to a club in Ocean City, Maryland called Secrets, spelled S-E-A, Crits. And then we came back and, like, my two friends that are married with kids and me that acts like I'm married with kids were, like, in bed while everyone was still partying. And we were, like, eating chips in bed watching Forensic Files. And the episode was about this couple that would go to that bar that we were just at to, like, hunt other couples and then kill them for fun.
Wow.
That's my 6 degrees to Forensic Files.
That's your secret.
All right. So are we ready to get it to reveal the two picks of your two favorites? Okay. So what's your first favorite show?
So this was hard. I think because it was like Grace and Frankie, I watched all of with my parents over COVID.
Aw, Grace and Frankie. Nice.
And so that I had to put on the list because I feel like it's mostly a feel good. There's a lot of ending episodes. There's a lot of episodes that are too dramatic. I like the early season episodes, but it's still on the list.
Is it a half hour or is it an hour?
It's a half hour, but it's like a full like 31 minutes.
And it's on Netflix, right?
And it's on Netflix. And there's like 7 seasons.
There's 7 seasons?
Yeah, it just ended like Reese, because the last season they started filming at the beginning of COVID. So they released like the first four episodes and then they just released the final like seven or whatever.
Okay. I love it. So Grace and Frankie, this is a first time chosen on a criteria, which I love. It's a blind spot for me. I haven't seen it, but I know
you gotta watch some Grace and Frankie.
Yeah. So yeah, what's the log line for Grace and Frankie?
So the premise is Grace is Jane Fonda, Frankie is Lily Tomlin. It's supposed to start that their husbands own are both divorced lawyers who own a firm together and have for like 28 years or something. But Frankie is like the pothead, like artsy stoner, and Grace is supposed to own a makeup company, and they like hate each other. And so the pilot episode, it is revealed that their husbands, played by Sam Waterston and Martin Sheen, have been having an affair for 20 years with each other.
Wow.
And so they both tell like Grace and Frankie on the same night that they're getting divorced. And then Grace and Frankie both leave the house, but they own a shared beach house in Malibu. And so they both end up there because it's like their vacation house they share together. And so then they, over the course of the seasons, they end up like staying there together, becoming like best friends, opening a business that is for like vibrators for women of a certain age.
Hilarity ensues. I love it.
So were you open with him? Did you tell him what you like? What do you like in bed?
Privacy.
Come on, you've got to speak up or it'll never get any better.
You know what I like in bed? I like for the man next to me to be the right man. Guy is tall, he's full of life, not gay.
Did you remind him that direct clitoral stimulation is essential before, during, and often after penetration?
Yes, I use those exact words. No, I'm 70 years old. Actually, I've never once talked about my CLIGO.
Who's the child? It's anatomical. Say the word.
No!
How about if I show you mine?
Clitoris! Clitoris! Oh, clitoris.
And then the husbands also are like always in it. And then their kids are also a big part of it.
I knew what Grace and Frankie was like as a show. Like I knew like Jane Fonda, Lily Tomlin, but I didn't actually know the premise behind it. But I did know that my mom, it is one of her favorite shows. And you telling me what it's about, I'm just like, wow, yay, mom.
Yeah, right. That's also why, like for me, because watching it like with my parents, I'm like, okay, this is a lot. But maybe if it's Sam Waterston that was also on Law and Order.
Right.
Yeah. We'll all be more comfortable.
Maybe if President Bartlett is talking about it, you know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. It also like is like their exploration into like the gay culture because they've been in the closet for this long. So Martin Sheen ends up like being in the local theater company and it takes place in like a suburb of San Diego.
Chris, that's a great sell. Similar to Brandy, I had never quite, I guess, sought out what the premise was. I kind of knew like who was in it.
I just assumed they were best friends.
Who was in it? And yeah, same. I kind of just assumed they were already friends. So that's a great pitch though. And it's going on my list. You know, the too long list of shows I gotta watch, but it's on there now.
You gotta. If I could pitch my own shows this way, I'd be smooth sailing by now.
You just gotta pitch to me and Dan.
I mean, do you have any male skewing reality series for Brandy?
I can come up with something. I have two very straight brothers.
All right, Grace and Frankie, great pick. What are you putting up next to?
All right, this is another recent watch. This is the one I said took me a long time to do. And I watched it and it was just so good. The Comeback season 2.
Oh, whoa. Just an amazing, amazing season of television.
It's just so, and I love the happy ending.
Mm-hmm.
And that's my thing with season 1, which I watched years ago. I don't even fully remember. But like, and Lisa Kudrow in season 2, it's just like an amazing actress.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The subtleties of like her face acting is just so, so good. So I really loved that. I literally finished it like 2 weeks ago, but it was just so good. And I was so happy when she wins the fucking Emmy. Like, I just was not expecting that to happen the whole time. I just thought everything was going to go to shit and he was going to die and things were going to be terrible. But I'm a sucker.
I definitely cried. The finale was too. Like so good.
And like the everything. I was like, oh,
And this also keeps with the theme of like you loving a strong lead female character.
Always, honey. Like, I really do. This is
it's like, is
the
this
theme.
Bitch bad? I'm gonna watch it.
I really do, actually, now that I look at this. Even snapped.
That's great. So wait, Chris, I love the specificity once again, but this one I would push back on, and I would say rewatch that first season, because I think season two is so good and is so strong because of the work that Lisa Kudrow does in season one. Like, I think as a pair of seasons taken as a whole, I think you're going to like it a lot. And I think you might even, you know, put it both together instead of just the second season. Because I think the first season is going to be stronger than you remember now, knowing where it goes and how it turns out.
I'll have to go back because it's been a while. I remember liking it a lot. I don't know. And I'm hoping for a season three. And I've heard there's rumors that 2024, because that would be 10 more years.
Get out of town.
Right? Because it was 2004, 2014.
Wow. Oh, my God. Was it 2014?
Yeah. Isn't that crazy that in 2024, that'll be 10 years ago?
I honestly can't even deal with that knowledge.
That's how I want to see Lisa Kudrow. That's all I want. That and Romy and Michelle. Like, that's Lisa Kudrow at her finest.
Are they going to do Romy and Michelle go to their 40th class reunion?
I would watch it. I hope so. No, that would be iconic. I love that movie.
Okay, so a little point of order. So I feel like we have two comedies here. So this is your double up category, Grace and Frankie and The Comeback. This is the double. But that brings us to the Forever category. Feel like we've gotten a lot of Forever vibes from you so far in the way you watch TV, which
I'm a Taurus.
So if I feel like you might have a few more contenders here. So let's run through what was in contention before we land on what are the final two here.
Okay, for Forever,
yeah.
Okay, the noms will start easy. Parks and Rec.
That's on my Forever list. That's one of my Forever shows.
I love Parks and Rec. It could be in the Forever. There's Seinfeld. I like grew up watching Seinfeld. Like, Seinfeld's like the reason I moved to New York. That and like Home Alone too. No, but I just loved Seinfeld. So like, if it was Forever on a loop, I also have to think like, what is long seasons? I need like a bulk.
Yeah.
So that's also how we got Golden Girls. It's feel good. Mm-hmm. Nice. But I feel like if I'm watching it forever, there's not enough excitement for me.
Yeah. I will say you're hitting on a lot of chosen Forever shows here. These are great comedies to put in their Forever category.
And then my last one, I guess I'll have to do, is Schitt's Creek, which again, also I watched that with my parents over COVID. So it's like, it's just, I love this. I love a small town vibe, which is why that's why I love Hallmark movies. I like love a small town vibe. I wish I lived in a Hallmark town. They just don't actually exist. like any real Hallmark town is like drug epidemics happening all the time.
It's like drug epidemics and MAGA flags.
Yeah, like literally.
Chris, quick detour. Small town vibes, strong female leads, tons of episodes. Are you a Gilmore Girls person?
Okay, so I actually started watching Gilmore Girls this week.
Get out of here.
The reasoning is the same, because I knew I would like get obsessed with Stars Hollow. I'm already kind of obsessed.
Nice.
But I also know that drama happens, and I don't know if I can deal with that. Like, I don't need to see drama between Rory and Lorelai.
Yeah, but like, there's drama, but like, in the grand scheme of things, it's not super heavy. I think you'll be all right.
My roommate thinks I'm a psycho because I keep on saying that I think Emily is the best character. The mom.
No, Emily rocks. The mom rocks. She might
I'm
be
like,
the best
she
character.
Is hysterical.
She's great.
I love the mom. I think she's so funny.
She's certainly one of the funniest, for sure. Yeah.
So I'm getting into Gilmore Girls is the answer to that.
All right. Okay.
Makes sense. Right. Makes sense.
Back on track. Back to the Forever. So we have a bunch of comedies in the nomination. So what's going to actually make the list?
Okay. So we'll start with The Office.
Great Forever pick.
The Forever comedy to end all Forever comedies. Mm-hmm. The Office.
The Office is like my comfort show. I have it on for everything. Like in the background, it's like very much a de-stressor. I feel like People shit on the late seasons. I like the late seasons. I think I think season 8 is one of my favorites.
You're a Robert California gal?
I'm a big Nelly fan.
Okay.
Nelly is like, also, she's a big comedian in the UK, and I used to watch her show on YouTube the Catherine Tate show that was like an SNL show, but she was like all the characters. It was just like a sketch show.
Oh, that sounds fun.
And I like loved her. So I just think she's so, so funny in The Office. But the more depressed I am, the earlier the seasons get, you know?
Sure.
Like if I'm like watching season two, I'm not doing great.
Well, it's funny to see, like, when you see, like, season one episodes of The Office before they had really figured out how they needed to, like, regulate Michael Scott.
Yeah, and, like, regulate the British humor. Because, like, season one was almost a one-to-one in a lot of ways from the British one.
Like, season one, it was just like, whoa.
There's a lot of things where I'm like, they get, like, the Dundee Awards where they give Kelly the Spicy Curry Award in season two. And she's like, what the fuck does that even mean? Like, when I'm like, I can't believe this shit that. So, yeah, the early seasons leave a lot to be desired. But yeah, there's just something about it. I think because I watched it so much probably like in my formative years. But yeah, The Office.
I feel like any episode you put on, you're going to have a laugh.
Yeah.
OK, so this is a forever show, right? So like you're watching it on a loop. What's the season or the stretch or the storyline where like when it's coming up, you're like, ah. My favorite fucking part of The Office. You know what I mean? Like what, when you think of it, where does your mind go?
I feel like Dinner Party is like the pinnacle of The Office for a lot of people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The awkward comedy pinnacle for sure.
I think that Dinner Party, and they have now the super fan episodes on Peacock that have like 10 minutes longer. They like added all the deleted scenes. And so they have season one, two, three, and they just released season four. I think 4 and 5. And so it's like every episode of The Office, they shot like an additional, sometimes like 12 or 13 minutes of scenes, and they kept them and now they've re-edited them all. So if you go to Peacock and go to the Superfan episodes, they have that with like all new. And it's crazy because there's whole storylines that were cut.
That's wild.
And so the Dinner Party episode with the deleted scenes is like dark. Like that, I was like, I can see why we edited this down because it like is a bummer.
Wow. Okay. So what else sticks out about The Office to put it above the other comedies, right? Because I think that's...
I think The Office, like I still LOL sometimes at things.
Okay.
And I've seen it like constantly. And so if I still like will start laughing at something, it's like the fucking... And I don't know now because if it's a deleted scene or if it's... in the real thing. But like when Nelly like comes in and takes over Andy's desk and Andy and Aaron come in to be like, I got my girlfriend back, and Kevin's wearing like the Cornell sweater.
Oh yeah.
And Andy's like, hey Kev, nice sweater. And he's like, thanks, Nelly gave it to me. It's just like that shit makes me fucking die. I just love, or when they're giving out the Will Ferrell episodes, when they're bringing the Dundee Awards to the houses and Meredith is doing a walk of shame up the driveway. It's just so good.
You're right. That's a very like detail rich show. Like on a forever watch, you're going to pick up stuff in the background of scenes. Like,
oh, I think that's why it's always so funny. Like, and whenever you watch, because it's like, I didn't notice that before. Like every scene is so chock full of like, not only just like the jokes, but just like where things are placed at in the room.
Yeah.
If you just like look around, like what does Jim's mug say?
Talk about face acting, right? Like you're surveying the whole office. So if Michael's doing something stupid, I'll sometimes not even look at Michael and like just look at other people's faces and see what's going on, you know?
And like I'm laughing literally thinking about when Michael's talking about how HR is ruining their lives or something. And he's like, I don't want anything to change. Like Stanley, he keeps that sexy picture of the girl in the schoolgirl outfit up in his desk. I know that I get turned on every time I look at it. And he's like, that's my daughter. She's 16 years old. It's like so fucked up, but so funny.
It is fucked up and funny. Great pick. Excellent forever pick.
Thank you.
So the last one here, and there's a very conspicuous absence so far from your criteria. And I think it's time we get into it. Chris Burns, what is your second forever show?
So we kind of left this up in the air. I'm going to have to go with a Housewives franchise. And if I have to break it down into season.
Well, let's start with, before we get super specific on season, what are the shows that it's between, right? Like if you had to pick one of the franchises, what are the top contenders? Let's start there.
Here's why I'm eliminating, okay?
Okay.
I'm eliminating Salt Lake City because it's only two seasons.
Mm-hmm.
It's not enough. I'm eliminating Potomac because it's only six seasons right now.
But it is so good.
It's so good. And if they give it five more years, then it would be. But if I'm only watching this for the rest of my life, I'm going to need, because especially season one's only like 12 episodes.
Yeah.
I need, if I could pick seasons, like if it was like, okay, you can have 10 seasons of Housewives, I could do that because I could pick it from certain things.
You know what?
I mean, I kind of like that.
Honestly, you just pitched the compromise that I've been searching for, because I'm like, mm-hmm. I can't give you the whole franchise. That's too much for one thing. But if you've been very season specific thus far, so I feel mm-hmm. good about it. If you can put together your 10 to 12, I can give you up to 12. Your okay. 10, to, even 14 even, because like what's the season with the series with the longest?
I think 14 is good. I forgot about Jersey too, so yeah. I have a lot to fit in.
All right, if you can do 14, and this is for the Housewives super fans to follow along, like we'll post this. This is going to be like the ultimate Housewives viewing mm-hmm. experience. And this is off the dome. This is, there's no prep here, so this is mm-hmm. going
to
be fun.
Yeah, this is hard. I literally was just about to try to Google because I'm like, I need to know. So, okay, seasons one through... You know what? I'm not even going to have a season one. We'll just start at season two. Season two and three, Beverly Hills.
Okay.
Okay. Ooh, do I want four? What season does Brandy come to?
Brandy comes in two, I think.
I think I'll do 2-3. That's when Adrian, we'll do 2-3. Adrian Maloof leaves at the end of three. So we'll have 2-3 that. We'll have Potomac, I guess now we can have back on the list because mm-hmm. we're doing... So 2-3, and then Potomac will do 4. I do like Charisse, though.
I like Charisse, but she comes back in as like a friend of.
Yeah.
In the seasons that she's not in.
I think season 4 or 5, I'll do a Potomac.
Candace came in season 4?
Season 4, I think, is the Candace.
Okay.
First season with Candace, season 5 is the Monique Candace
mm-hmm.
fallout, and I don't need the Mia season. Also, Wendy came back as a different person in the last season.
Yeah.
So I'll take the first season of Wendy. And then I want like season 7, 8, 9 of Orange County. That's the cancer scandal.
Okay. Yes.
How many seasons am I up to? 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8.
7. You're only halfway there. This
okay,
is great.
Amazing.
I think you're in good shape. By the way, everyone should know Chris is doing this without notes, without looking at IMDb. This is just...
If I'm wrong about anything, don't DM me, bitch. Because
just get over it. You know what he was talking about.
This is incredible TV scholarship right here. You should know. Continue. You're 7. You got 7.
Finally putting my degree from SUNY Oneonta to use.
Let's go.
New York, I would want seasons... 6, 7, and 8 for now. 6, 7, 8. 6, 7, 8 is Bethany comes back in season 6. Or no, does she come back in? She leaves in season 3. She comes back in season 6. That's like when she's walking over the bridge with Ramona, all that iconic bullshit. The leg, the fake leg, that's the Aviva season. Mm-hmm. Carol Radziwill hasn't gone off the deep end yet in those seasons. Bethany still thinks she's a chef. Like all of that. I love. The townhouse isn't sad yet.
No, the townhouse is still like, oh, maybe Sonia does have some money, maybe.
So what am I at now? 7, 8?
You have 10. You have 4 left to play with.
Oh, fuck. I'm forgetting. There's so many. Okay, I'm going to take season 8 of New York off the table.
Okay.
We'll just do 6 and 7.
Okay.
Atlanta, I want to do... Oh, it's hard. That one's hard, too.
There's so many good ones with Atlanta.
And that's the one like I binged first. So I'm trying to remember mm-hmm. the old seasons. I miss the NeNe seasons, but not when NeNe wasn't talking to anybody.
Yeah, no, the NeNe seasons of when Candy was there. Cause like I feel like Candy gave the show some legitimacy in terms of like, it's like, okay, like they have like real money. Cause before it was just like, do they, like, I need to see my Housewives rich.
Let's do season 10 because I need that season purely because I believe that's the season that Kenya does the marching band through Marlo's hair opening.
Hair care, yeah.
And that is just so good. And then I think season 3 is like the white fridge.
Oh, look at you!
Hi!
Oh, you dressed all sharp. Where you live, bitch?
You look good! What is this, honey?
I had to move out of Kanye's house of whores, so I thought this was the best option for me on a short notice.
This is not where I live. This is my
This is where you live, home. Honey. Let me see what's going on. Oh, damn it. Show me around. Ooh, let me see. I was shocked, honey. I was in tears almost. And it has a white refrigerator. I was like, oh, oh, not a white refrigerator. Girl, please put your shoes on. Let's go find you a home, honey. Oh, Lord.
Kenya, what is going on up in here?
So, Atlanta, are you just going season 10 right now?
The white fridge was season 6.
Okay. I don't want season 6. That's where Marlo's being homophobic in episodes. Yeah. Ooh, you know what I'm going to put? I'm going to put Girls Trip, Ultimate Girls Trip, the most recent one.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Tens across the board.
How many episodes was that? Because that was like
eight beautiful hours of television.
It was everything I wanted and more. Like, I didn't know that, like, I needed this combination of women together and that we need a new show that's just called Real Housewives Ex-Wives Club.
No. And when Phaedra Parks is the voice of reason, just so good. So what do I have left?
To recap, you have seasons Beverly Hills 2 and 3, Potomac 4 and 5, OC 7, 8, 9, New York 6, 7, Atlanta season 10, Ultimate Girls Trip season 2. So in total, that's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. You have 11. So you have up to 3 more.
You could get Salt Lake in there.
I could get Salt Lake. I can also get Jersey. Mm. So let's do season 2 of Jersey. That's prostitution whore.
Mm-hmm.
Let's do season, the one before the most recent. I think season 10, when Danielle comes back a little and pulls Marge's ponytail.
Yeah, season 10.
So 10. So let's do season 4, season 10.
You said season 2, season 10.
Season 2, season 10.
Okay, got you.
And so that leaves me with one?
One for Salt Lake, yep.
Let's do Salt Lake season 2. Who doesn't want to see Jen Shaw get arrested? No offense.
And Lisa Barlow cry in the phone to her lawyer on the bus.
Lisa Barlow, I made a video that was making like the whole thing. I was pretending to be Lisa Barlow. And then I got a DM at midnight and it said, Lisa Barlow wants to send you a message. And I was like, oh my God. But all it's, she just said, you're amazing with a heart. So I'm obsessed with Lisa Barlow now.
Okay, good.
All it takes is for a Real Housewife to message me. And I'm like, well, now they're one of my faves.
Oh my God. I had Jill Zarin liked my story a few weeks ago. And I was like, what? How?
And why? Now she's one like, of your favorite housewives.
I don't follow her. She doesn't follow me.
Oh my God,
I tagged
bizarre.
The Brooklyn Botanical Garden.
She must have been looking at the tag. Good for her.
Jill Zarin doesn't go to Brooklyn.
No, not only Alex McCord, honey.
Only Alex McCord.
This okay. is incredible. This is a wild 14 season lineup. We will post this so that if you're new to the Housewives or you just want the perfect rewatch, this is what you're looking for.
Thank you.
This criteria, holy shit, my friend. Talk about specificity. Talk about strong women.
Thank you.
Lead character. I mean, this is just the most specific and I think one of the most fun criterias we've had. And
oh my God,
we really put your
you.
Feet to the fire because you didn't come in totally knowing what was going to go where. And then we did that incredible Housewives run at the end there. Like, well done, man. Just absolutely great.
Thank
shit.
You, sir. I do my I best.
Look, to recap, White Lotus and Killing Eve season 1 are the best shows that Chris Burns has ever seen. Grace and Frankie and The Comeback, just season 2 for now. are his favorite shows of all time. And he would watch The Office and The Real Housewives selected seasons forever.
Yeah, incredible. So we have one more task for you. We didn't tell you about this. Don't hate us. So we end every episode with a quick lightning round. So for this, we do a mini BFF. So
okay,
it's we ask you to choose a best and a favorite and a forever and a surprise category. So because it's a lightning round, you only need to pick one in each. So one best, one favorite, one forever. So this category for you is, you'll know it better than anybody, I promise. Okay. What are your best, favorite, and forever characters that you perform? What do you think is the best character that you do? What's your favorite character to do? And what character, if you had to, would you live in forever?
That I do? I think that my best is Carly, the pyramid scheme queen.
Yes.
I think that my favorite is the closeted guy being married to a woman.
Yes, yes. Brandy's favorite too.
That's my favorite too.
And I think my forever. Oh, that's hard. I have to like look at my Instagram. I'm like, I can't even like remember.
Think of it like which comes most naturally, where like it wouldn't be hard to just be in that skin.
I think that, and I only have a few of these up, but I really, because it doesn't do as well as it should, but I think it should. When I pretend to be everybody in Law and Order. I guess that. I feel like, honestly, I would put Carly in multiple categories. She transcends.
Carly really does transcend. So with that, everybody, this is a wrap on this episode of TV BFFs. Thank you so much to our guest, Chris Burns.
Thank you.
Chris, where can we find you and what are you up to?
You can find me at Instagram at Fat Carrie Bradshaw, TikTok at Fat Carrie Bradshaw, Twitter at Fat Carrie B Shaw, because they don't have enough fucking characters. Or just go to fatcarriebradshaw.com.
Awesome. All right. Well, please rate, review, and subscribe to us too. And you can check us out on Instagram at TVBFF Podcast, or you can email us at TVBFFpodcast@gmail.com.
Yes, that's right. We would love to hear from you all. Reach out, send us your six. We want to know, what are your top six shows of all time? What's your best shows, your favorites, your forevers, where they fall on your own personal BFF criteria. So send us your picks. And until next time, bye, friends.
Bye, friends. You've arrived here.